This NFC West win totals and preview edition of the Sports Gambling Podcast is presented by MyBookie.ag. Sports are back, and MyBookie is now offering a 100% deposit bonus when you use the promo code SGP. That's MyBookie.ag, promo code SGP to play, win, and get paid. We're also brought to you by the leaders in daily fantasy, DraftKings. Download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code SGP to get a free shot at $1 million in total prizes for this weekend's UFC 252 contest. That's promo code SGP to get a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit only at DraftKings. We're also brought to you by BetQL. Want to get an advantage over the sportsbook with NBA, NHL, and MLB back in action? You need to download BetQL, the only app you'll need to make smart bets this season. Head to betql.co and enter the code SGP20 for 20% off your first subscription. That's betql.co, promo code SGP20. Finally, we're also brought to you by Ace per Head. Ace is the leader in pay per head providers, and they make it super easy to start your own sportsbook. Plus, Ace is offering up to 6 weeks free over at aceperhead.com/SGP. That's aceperhead.com/SGP.
This is Jerry Glanville, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, brother.
Welcome everyone to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean, stacking the money green with my partner in picks, Ryan Real Money Kramer. What's happening, Kramer dog?
We're both swagged out. We're both here to talk about football, and we're joined by our Lord and Savior, Danger Russ himself, looking over our shoulders.
Danger Russ is here in studio, up on the screen to break down the NFC West. We got a jam packed podcast. We'll talk Rams, Cards, Seahawks, and of course the San Francisco 49ers. But before we get there, Kramer, time for a little tout. I know we don't normally mention it, but on the PGA Championship,
we rarely tout
preview podcast, I gave out Colin Morikawa at 35-1 over at mybookie.ag. Hopefully you hopped on that, as our boy Colin just dominated the PGA Championship. It was one of the more exciting majors I can remember of recent time, where and obviously pretty excited because I won a bunch of money, but there were like six guys that were minus 10 there for a long time. Right.
You love when six guys are trying to stuff it in the hole. No, I mean, look, it was a good team effort. You brought up the caboose. I got the weekend.
You got Jason off. Day, first round leader. What was it? It was 50-1, but he was tied.
I had to split it, so it was 25-1. But I mean, you want to talk about a profitable weekend betting on the old links.
Then
on top of that, I threw out a DraftKings lineup that six guys made the cut, cash $30 or $35, you know. Ka-ching. Not so bad, but we're here to talk about football, Sean.
We are here to talk about football. Of course, make sure you check out our new NBA gambling podcast feed, available on Apple and Spotify, as well as our NBA soccer gambling podcast, available on Apple and Spotify as well.
You have a hard time saying that. I understand.
Oh, that soccer, that we're connected to soccer. Yeah, it's
never going to be easy for Sean to.
That is a disgusting act.
But you know, it's
my love of content.
The number one
is right now superseding my hatred of soccer. So I'm burying that for now.
Number one sport in the world.
You're welcome, Ryan. Why are you doing this on a legit football podcast, on a real football podcast?
You brought it up.
When people are listening to this podcast, I don't know if they realize, but when they're listening to this, it means 30 days, exactly 30 days.
Is that what it is?
Till the National Football League. 30 days.
Well, and Sean, the reason I'm spitting facts, and I apologize, because I have all these, and if you're watching on YouTube, all these beautiful handwritten notes, lots of facts about the NFC West upcoming.
Facts only.
We have we have schedules with color coding. I mean, it's a serious lab setup right here. I got my four screen setup. Three of the screens are paper with pen analog. On them. I am analog right here, and it's the National Football League, Sean.
Well, and shout out to Warren Sharp. I like digging through his stuff.
Oh, but hello.
But really, what's great? I mean, he had this tweet, this video of Russell Wilson that he randomly came across. I guess it was a couple of years ago. He tweeted it out, and it caught a lot of steam. I mean, it's worth watching because it's just like Russell Wilson walking around in his house, kind of in selfie mode. But the audio is pretty amazing. Let's take a listen to that, Ryan, before we get going.
I'd say this: after watching this video, you will have more questions than answers.
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring. Yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. I'm real, robot real exciting. Russell. Yeah, I'm real exciting. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you gotta be unlimited. Tell them I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who is your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll. They think this person. Think that person. Love you, Pete. But it's Mr. Unlimited. Tom.
Oh my God, that's so amazing. We gotta get that as a drop. I don't know which version of him saying Mr. Unlimited, but
be uncommon and bow down to Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited. Kramer, what do you think about your bankroll in 2020? How's it going to look?
Unlimited.
How many locks are we going to hit in 2020?
Unlimited.
How many three team teasers and multi-leg parlays are we going to hit in the 2020 NFL season?
Unlimited. I like how he was trying to sound cool and just he's a corny fucking dude. I love Russ Wilson, but
robot Russ here.
Yeah, he's a robot.
Reminds me of the Fox robot. Shout out to Cletus and shout out to mybookie.ag where the winnings are unlimited. When you use that promo code SGP, you get a deposit bonus 100%, which is pretty much unlimited. Over at mybookie.ag, use that promo code SGP. Of course, NBA tipping off. We got a daily NBA picks podcast. We got free daily MLB picks. Of course, the golf god himself, myself, just gave you out Colin Morikawa. Kramer, hot off the Jason Day first round leader. The free picks, the free content just keep piling up. And all you got to do is take all this free content we're giving you, use that free deposit bonus over at mybookie.ag, and then you, sir, well, 97% of you are sirs. Your bankroll will become unlimited over at mybookie.ag, promo code SGP. Joining us online, host of the Seahawkers and Field Goals podcast, Brandon Schultz. Brandon, appreciate the time, man. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, happy to join you guys.
Yeah, and happy to have you on. We just played the Mr. Unlimited clip in case people had missed it. I was hanging out on the Seahawks subreddit. That seems to be a big talking point. Everyone's embracing the Mr. Unlimited nickname. It's one of the more fun clips I've seen in a while.
Man, we were embracing that clip probably 2 years ago on our Seahawkers podcast, and so it's kind of fun to see it come back up again, and then also to see Cable Thanos, you know, put his spin on it afterward, and really, you know, put it out over Russell Wilson's channel, and it was a fun time.
Well, I mean, he is, we joke about it, Sean, but definitely one of the guys who has made us a ton of money over the years, and a guy that we always find. We don't find ourselves rooting against Russell Wilson very often.
No. And certainly he's had a great run as a starter, always up there with double digit wins. I think, what was it? 2017 was the only time he didn't win 10 games. And even then they went 9-7. So remarkably consistent. And
well, I even wrote down a strange nugget about the division. Over the last 5 years, the Seahawks have won between 9 and 11 games every year. Every year, consistency. That's Russell Wilson. Meanwhile, every other team in the division has had a season where they've won 13 or more games and lost 12 or more games in that same 5 year stretch.
Yeah, no, it's crazy. The NFC West has been real up and down, and the Seahawks have just been kind of a beacon of consistency here. Coming off their season last year, 11-5, their win total was only set at 8.5. Easily went over that, as they do every single year. We were shocked last year when it posted 8.5. It's like, there's just a formula between Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll. They're going to get you 9 or 10 wins every season at the least. I think, you know, Pete Carroll in particular, a lot of the data nerds, the analytics people pull their hair out because he keeps running the ball. He doesn't go for it on fourth down. I think he's one of the lowest fourth down percentages. I think it was like 10% since that Super Bowl loss on going for it on fourth down. What's your take overall on the Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll era? And are you frustrated with Pete Carroll? It seems like a lot of Seahawks people are, but they kind of put up with it because of his consistency.
Well, I'm a fan who grew up watching the Seahawks back in the 90s. And so I remember the really rough quarterback years. In fact, I even kind of strayed away from the Seahawks for a while as my dad taught me to like Emmitt Smith. And so I started rooting for the Cowboys.
Oh, no, no.
I kind of look back on. Yeah, I know. He's like, watch out for this Emmitt Smith guy. He's going to be good. And then so I started watching him, and then I liked him. And then, yeah, but it got me through the toughest years of Seahawks football. But then I came back, especially like as soon as they switched over for Mike Holmgren was the time I was really on board with the team. And that so going through the rough years and then getting to Mike Holmgren and just having a stretch of success under him and Matt Hasselbeck and the Seahawks going to their first Super Bowl and then getting a taste of what it's like to have Jim Mora Jr. as a coach for one season before they go back to Pete Carroll. I think that was just enough to remind me of the terrible 90s years. And so it's really, you know, you talk about the success of the team just over the last short time with Pete Carroll, but really it goes all the way back to Mike Holmgren. And ever since the Seahawks came into the NFC West, it feels like there has been just a lot of success. And so I do like Pete Carroll. I like him and Russell Wilson, the pairing. Yes, I do get frustrated because I'm a guy who likes this. I like it when my team gets up by 10 points or more in the first quarter or the second quarter. Yeah, I like going fans, into halftime with a lead, and it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen with Pete and Russ.
Yeah. Seahawks fans must have an ulcer going on. I mean, even though you're in so many one score games, he pulled it out. I think there were 10-2 in one score games, 4-0 in field goal games last year. Now, normally that's a sign that they're going to kind of regress, but they've seemed to have still hit those double digit wins in spite of, you know, like the year previous, I think there were 5-6 in one score games. So even though they are playing all these close games, they still have that level of consistency. And you mentioned the halftime lead. One other quick nugget here, the Seahawks, they've been on a run of 27-2 when leading at halftime since 2016. But last year they had to play from behind a lot, and Wilson had, you know, these crazy come from behind victories. And he was certainly in the mix there, especially the first half of the season for MVP.
And their last, guys, you know, it's to interrupt you, it's even better than that for you bring up the halftime score. If they're leading by, I think it's 4 or more points under Pete Carroll, the streak is 55-0. I know they haven't lost when leading by more than 4 points at the half,
which is why it's so frustrating to see them come out last 4 playoff losses, Sean. Halftime aggregate score 81-19. Second half score, well, they came back 70-38. It's just, I mean, I would imagine, and I am kind of an honorary Seahawks fan. I've won lots of money on them dating back to when Russell Wilson, disappointed after the loss to the Atlanta Falcons down there in Georgia, said, we got to do better. We immediately went to the window, bet on Seahawks plus 1200 to win the Super Bowl the next year. Wow. And he came through for us. It's got to be so frustrating to watch. Like, even when we were calling simulated Madden games this summer, as if it was real football, but it was just the computer playing the computer. And even in the video game, they try to run the ball. And I know they have great running backs, but it's like, just once I want it. Like, I would imagine the fan, and maybe I'm just asking, like, is that the internal feeling? Like, God damn it, let Russ be Russ in the first half.
Let Russ cook seems to be a catchphrase from what I can tell. Seems Seahawks to be, fans.
Yeah, that's been the mantra in the off season. You know, I've watched some of the games, and it's not like it's it's just so conservative. It's not like they are trying to force to run the football. It's just there's so much just of Pete Carroll just playing that conservative game. And I recognize it from the Holmgren era, too, because except it was a little bit different. The Seahawks under Holmgren would get a lead and then they would go into this conservative mode and other teams would eventually come back into the game. And then it would be so close at the end, too. And so there was the frustration there, too. It is frustrating, though, to know that Pete Carroll hasn't quite figured it out with Russell Wilson as to the ways that they can, because they recognize they're able to come back in the second half. And it's not like I don't know if they love playing that way, although it makes me feel that way. Would they do it so often? But we go back and forth on it all the time on the shows of how does this, you know, trying to figure out a way of why can't they make this happen? And I don't think it's as easy and as an answer as throw the football more in the first half, because you look at some of the run and pass splits and it's not significantly different because they're usually passing the ball so much in the second quarter, trying to, run their 2-minute offense leading up to the end of the second quarter. So it's frustrating as a fan. I guess the good part about it, though, is that I can look back on these 3 years and after losing Richard Sherman, after losing Earl Thomas and Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill, these last 3 years have been really a rebuilding of the defense. And so they've gotten through some of these tough years now. And now it feels like with the addition of Jamal Adams, with Quandre Diggs, you're getting him from the Detroit Lions, and, you know, the emergence of Shaquille Griffin as a Pro Bowl corner, it kind of feels like now with Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright still as the linebackers, now you're kind of getting back to some of the strong type of defense that Pete Carroll was used to. It's never going to be the level that it was in 2013, 2014, 2015, but it's starting to get back there.
Yeah. And it's impressive that they've brought in these pieces, especially when you're considering you're paying your quarterback $31 million. I mean, much easier to do when Russ is on that rookie contract and he's making like the league minimum, but now they've figured it out. Even when they're paying him $31 million. So yeah, transitioning, they brought in Jamal Adams, cornerback Quentin Dunbar, who was on the inactive list, but now he's back. He's been cleared. Apparently it was all just DeAndre Baker.
He must have ratted him out. That's not a good sign when two guys are in trouble and then all of a sudden one guy's
cleared and the other guy's facing 10 years. So who knows what happened there, but Dunbar is able to play now. And then they
Jamal Adams, big time pickup,
huge pickup. Yeah. They brought in a couple tackles, Brandon Shell, Cedric Agaboy.
Nice try.
Cornerback center BJ Finney, edge rusher Bruce Irvin, Greg Olson, interesting signing there, bringing him in on a 1-year deal, $7 million. Who'd they lose? They lost Quentin Jefferson, edge rusher Ezekiel Anza, tackle Jermaine Afaiti, Josh Gordon, Afaiti, yeah. Gordon tackle George
might not be lost. Who knows?
Yeah, Gordon's who's always kind of like
lost always, but maybe not lost.
Smoking my weed.
Can't really count on him at this point. Although, man, what a frustrating career, because he was so fun to watch.
So talented.
So that's kind of where they're at, and the fact you're right. The fact that they have this kind of connection now of Dunbar, Jamal Adams, KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner, like the defense.
First round pick. Who knows what he's going to contribute year one? I mean,
yeah, and maybe they lost Clowney, or it doesn't look like he's going to resign. He still hasn't signed, but maybe the defensive line not a lot going pass rush wise, but the defense should be pretty solid. I'm very high on DK Metcalf, especially in fantasy. I thought he had a great connection with Russ through most of that year, and especially that second half. And then even in the playoff games, really performed well. The offensive line continues to kind of be suspect, but the, you got Lockett and like I mentioned, Metcalf, pretty strong, decent running backs.
This is his best, the most wet weapons he's had around him in a while.
And then the tight end group is getting pretty interesting. I love your take on this. And especially for fantasy players out there, they bring in Olsen, but now Disley had a really good season coming off the injury. He looks to be 100%. And then even Luke Wilson floating around. What do you think happens? Like if you were going to draft one of these Seattle Seahawks tight ends in fantasy, which way are you leaning here?
Oh gosh. Well, the thing with Disley is that he has flashed so well in the few games that he's had with Russell Wilson. He's a go-to option in the red zone for Russ. And so I mean, if you're just looking at the ability to score touchdowns in fantasy, I would be looking at Will Disley, especially if, you know, you're looking at keeping a guy on your roster long-term. I mean, Greg Olsen, a great player too, but I think, gosh, it comes down to, do you believe that a tight end can be snake bitten three seasons in a row with Will Disley, because he's had these catastrophic injuries with his knee and then his Achilles, and he is able to bounce back from these injuries seemingly well. I will see how he comes back from the Achilles. It was really nice to see that he wasn't on the PUP list coming into training camp. So I'm really high on Will Disley, actually. And part of it is because he's a Montana guy like me. So if it were me picking, I would pick Disley, but you know, it could just be me going with my heart on that one.
Kramer, anything else you want to throw out there before we start breaking down the schedule?
I'm just simply like, I think there's a couple just pure regression angles to look at with this team going forward. Last year, once again, win total was too low. They overperformed. They were a lucky team looking at expected wins versus actual record. They outperformed by almost three wins. So on one hand, you'd say, well, whoa, gonna regress. Now, on the other hand, they're going from having the second hardest schedule to what DVOA projects to be the 27th hardest schedule. So this could be a team that kind of regresses two ways and ends up somewhere where they might be, where they should have been in the first place, which is probably right around nine and a half wins. So I think just purely from that, when I look at the win, which we're going to get into this right now, but when you look at the win total of 9.5, it's like, finally, they've made us at least think about this, right? You have to make a Russell Wilson win total at least 9.5, but preferably 10. And we'll get to this as we go through the schedule. But the other thing I would point out is, I mean, essentially the whole Football Outsiders chapter on the Seahawks is how impressive it's been that the Seahawks haven't been more impressive in spite of having Russell Wilson, essentially.
Yeah.
And they point to some of these quirks about like how much they do like to run the ball, but it's kind of skewed because Russell Wilson runs the ball, and how they have had a relatively trash offensive line, but really quarterbacks have more say over their offensive line sack rate than the offensive line itself typically. So is he running into sack? You know, is he trying to make a play? But it all circles back to is that at the end of the day, this is a team that has an offense that has provided him with more weapons and a better offensive line than he's had in the past 5 years. They have a defense where they've plugged some of their glaring holes from last year, which is basically secondary depth. Mm-hmm. And the last part being, I think for the first time, like, maybe they see that, like, I wonder, like, what is Pete Carroll's window? Like, at what point is this like, guys, we won the Super Bowl, was it 6 years ago?
Yeah, no, it's crazy.
It feels like it shouldn't be 6 years ago, but like they've kind of missed out on a window. And I wonder if they feel that in the building, because that, to me, that's the angle here coming in.
Well, Brandon was mentioning the way they've kind of rebuilt the defense. I mean, certainly the young talent, DK Metcalf on the offensive side. So maybe they are primed for another second run. They're an interesting team. Like, they're a team with like a bad offensive line that wins close games. Usually they're a team I like to fade, but
Russell Wilson's,
as a gut handicapper, my gut is to always kind of ride the Seahawks team. Let's walk through the schedule, see where we got them at.
Oh man. Sure. Oh, all right. At Atlanta, back to the scene of the crime from many, many moons ago, New England at home, which who knows what they're going to be at this point. Yeah. Dallas at home, at Miami, bit all over the place. Always a little worried to see Seattle have to travel to the East Coast. I feel like we don't. What time is that game, Sean?
Are you worried about Seattle traveling to the East Coast?
Is it a stupid tab? Undo this taboo thing in my brain, because I always see them in Carolina not covering and winning by two or something like that.
Well, see, you know, as a fan, I'm generally not paying attention to the spread as much as looking for the win.
My apologies. So,
I don't know if I can go based off the spread, but in terms of their East Coast wins, as Seahawks fans through the Holmgren years, we got conditioned to them losing any East Coast start, whether it was an early start or a late start. Generally, the early starts were almost guaranteed losses. But I think they're on an 11. They're either on an 8 or an 11 game winning streak when playing on the East Coast right now. So
perfect.
Pete Carroll's, he's kind of figured out this East Coast travel thing. Now, This year could be a little bit different because the NFL has talked about changing the way not allowing teams to travel on Friday. And so that could be something to watch for this year, but I do like the fact that they've got a streak going on these East Coast games.
Oh, all right. Yeah, so then with those first four, then call me bullish, Sean. 4-0.
I'll go 3-1.
I'll go three and one.
I am with you, Kramer. I do think that Dolphins spot, not necessarily maybe because of the East Coast thing, but with conditioning being kind of weird in this season, and I think heat and humidity in that early October game could be an issue. And I'm slightly higher on the Dolphins than most, so that could be a sneaky game, or maybe they drop one to the Cowboys or Patriots. But I love them against the Falcons week one. And yeah, I think 3-1 is pretty good for
them. The last five seasons, the Seahawks are 50-29-1. They are only 16-13-1 in their division, which means they got to win these out of division games. They got to rack them up. It's an arms race. Next four, Minnesota bye week, early bye week. I don't know how I feel about that if I'm a Seahawks backer. Arizona, San Francisco, and at Buffalo.
I mean, I'll kick it off here. That's a much tougher run there for them. I got them going 2-2 in that four game stretch.
I'd say 2-2 is probably fair. I think the Vikings is a win because it's Kirk Cousins in prime time.
Yes.
Love it. Great angle there. We always love ragging on him in prime time.
At Buffalo, I think that's a win. Arizona, that game can be freaky with Arizona, but generally that's a win on the road in Arizona. It's when they come to Seattle that we tend to have a tougher time with the Cardinals. DeAndre Hopkins, gosh, I wish they didn't get him in the offseason. And then the 49ers, which I'm expecting them to turn down a little bit. That's a game at home. We have we're closing out in San Francisco. I still think that they could go 3-1 here, but 2-2 is probably a better conservative bet. Just thinking that they'll be, you know, like a 5-3 at the halfway point.
I'm also going to 2-2. I think they dropped the game in Buffalo, classic non-conference road divisional sandwich spot, Sean.
Yeah, definitely.
And then I do think they have. They're going to lose a divisional game here. I just, even if the Seahawks have a great season, they probably split the division down the middle, maybe 4-2. Next four at Los Angeles at the beautiful new stadium.
Will it be complete?
We'll see.
Are they definitely going to play there? I could see one more StubHub season for both the Rams and the Chargers.
No fans, so it doesn't really matter where they play. They could just pick a random rec field.
Exactly.
Arizona on Thursday night at Philly, Monday Night Football, Sean, your Eagles, and then the Giants at home.
Well, that's your Giants are going down.
Classic Kramer FML. The Giants finally come to Los Angeles, or I'm sorry, this is Seattle. And yeah, that's you can just pencil that one in as a loss.
For the Giants.
Yeah, for the Giants.
Okay. Right.
Reverse jinx. I think this is another 2-2 stretch for me.
I'll give them 3-1. I think they'll lose one of the Rams, Cardinals, or Eagles games. And I think they'll go 2-1. Or sorry, and they'll win the remaining. But yeah, that's kind of how I see it there. I mean, the division, like you pointed out with that great stat, it's always a little more competitive in the NFC West than you would think, even though they've had some dominant teams in there. Brandon, what do you see this four game stretch going?
Yeah, I see wins over Philly and the Giants, and I know Philly fans are really excited to see the Seahawks again.
They really have our number. Well, you guys don't have Jadeveon Clowney, so you'll have to find a new person to have a dirty hit on Carson.
Don't
Wentz.
Worry, Carson Wentz goes down easy though.
Right? Yeah, I'm not worried about that part.
Montana
so,
guy.
I think you're right. I
Montana,
think
that's so close to North Dakota. You gotta love a guy from North Dakota. Come on.
I do. Well, you know, actually, there's kind of always been a Montana North Dakota rivalry, but I do like Carson Wentz a little bit. So yeah.
So 2-2.
I do think that they lose one of the divisional games too here again between the Rams and Cardinals. But if I had to pick a game for them to lose out of this three game stretch, it would be the Cardinals at CenturyLink.
Oh, wow. So 3-1. I like it.
Yeah.
Last four, Sean, Jets at home at the Washington professional football team. Got to remember, I got to write that down so I don't screw it up. The Los Angeles Rams at home and at San Francisco to close it out. This feels like where I say 3-1.
Yeah, I'm also going 3-1. I think maybe they lose one of these division ones, But Jets and Washington, they shouldn't have trouble with the Jets at home or even in Washington. Even though Washington has a pretty decent front seven against that Seattle O line, I think Russ still pulls out a victory. So 3-1 for me. What about you, Brandon? Yeah,
we start to look at strength of schedule, and it's always toward the end of the season that it's kind of tough because you never know what's going to happen in terms of injury factors and whether a bad team last year is going to end up being good. The Jets are one of those teams that were, you know, kind of okay last year. They could end up being good. Ron Rivera could revitalize the football team. And I think, you know, with the 49ers kind of, I think, coming back from their Super Bowl loss and that hangover, and the Rams kind of, I think they're going to have another down year too. I do think it's 3-1, and I like a 6-2 finish to the season for the Seahawks, because historically they do finish kind of strong. Last year was that they didn't do so well last year, but a lot of that was because of injuries. And so I'd like a 6-2 finish here, 3-1 down the stretch. And it could really be any one of these four teams where you look at that one loss, because like I said, who knows if the Jets end up being good, or, you know, same with Washington, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, the Jets still do have Adam Case as their head coach. So I think that will
change by the end of the season.
You're right. Maybe they bring in a new coach and they're playing for him.
You know what? The Jets really need an interim head coach. This head coach is killing them. Sean, we all went 11-5.
And that, to me, I know it's kind of, you know, just repeating that same record that they have last year, but I think they've made a bunch of gains on the defensive side, and yeah, why not have them going 11-5 again?
And let me finish, because plus 250 to win the division, plus 850 to win the conference, plus 1750 to win the Super Bowl. If I'm looking to get involved in a team from a conference perspective, maybe, but I think to me, the division is where it's at.
Yeah.
Them plus 250 to win the division is just extremely disrespectful. I understand the 49ers have a loaded roster and just got there. But as we're going to talk about later, Sean, there's plenty of reasons to maybe think that there's not a ton of confidence in sustaining that rate. So when you're telling me I can get Russell Wilson, Pete Carroll, and this Seattle team plus 250,
well, to
two
me,
and a half to one.
I think even
it, wrong price. Plus, it should be plus 150.
It feels like much closer to a coin toss than 2.5 to 1 for the Seahawks to win the division. I mean, you remember last year, like it literally came down to a play with inches at the goal line as to them winning the division and getting to 12-4. Instead, they're 11-5, and the
basically
wild card
what
there.
This is saying is that the Seahawks win the division like 29% of the time.
Feels like it's closer to 50-50 right now. I'm not like on this Cards dark horse train to win it all, but you know, we'll get into that when we break down the other teams, but certainly looking at Seattle plus 250 when we give out our locks at the end of the podcast. Brandon, any sort of Super Bowl bets you're making or to win the conference, anything like that jump out at you?
Yeah, well, in terms of the division, you guys are right on. There's two tiers of teams in the NFC West, and it's between the Seahawks and 49ers for that first tier, and then the Cardinals and Rams are fighting out for the second. And I know the Cardinals are this hot pick for this season, but I just don't see the additions that they've made on defense that are going to put them into that kind of competition with Seattle and with San Francisco this offseason. So In terms of conference, this is going to be a fun year with the addition of the extra playoff team, isn't it? I do like the Seahawks, especially if they're winning the division, to make it a little deeper in the playoffs, and maybe we see an NFC championship run out of them this year.
You know, I would love to see it, because when the Giants get eliminated, my favorite team to pull for is the Seattle Seahawks.
Well, and our friends over at
Odds. We've had success in that Giants stadium. That's one of my favorite stadiums to play in.
That was an awesome Super Bowl for you guys. Our friends over at Odds Sharks have the odds to make the NFL playoffs or miss. Seattle, a very intriguing minus 165, consider
that's wrong.
That seventh playoff slot.
Sean, can you dial up the money guy? Tell him to release all my cash.
Unload
an investment opportunity
on Seattle to make the playoffs minus 165. Brandon, appreciate you calling into the podcast. Where can people check you out?
Yeah, check us out at SeahawkersPodcast.com, or you can subscribe to the Field Goals Podcast at SBNation.com/NFL podcasts.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Brandon. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Oh, yeah. Talking DraftKings. The hits literally keep on coming from one MMA event to the next. Tons of excitement, tons of anticipation. UFC 252, no different. Two of the sport's most respected fighters stepping into the octagon this weekend. No better place to get in on all this action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. For this weekend's fight coming up, DraftKings is offering new users a free shot at $1 million in total prizes. Again, if you've never done the fantasy MMA, very easy to do. You know, your standard pick six fighters, standard on the salary cap, all good there. And again, new users, use that promo code SGP, get a free shot at $1 million. We're big DraftKings players. Of course, you heard the PGA Championship podcast.
Ka-ching, ka-ching,
where we included Colin Morikawa, amongst others. Download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code SGP to get a free shot at $1 million in total prizes for this weekend's UFC 252 contest. That's promo code SGP to get a free shot at $1 million with your first deposit only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. This man, a king in his own right, the editor over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com and host of the newly launched NBA gambling podcast, Ryan McKee. Ryan, what's happening?
Yeah. You know, just I'm in Arizona right now as we speak, living it up, talking to my dad and brother about the Cardinals, getting real excited for the season.
And of course, I forgot to include Ryan, rich fat baby McKee.
Didn't want to miss that out. For my proper name, I appreciate that.
So really diving in on the Phoenix Suns bandwagon, so much so you've left the state of California to join the Suns as they.
This is really fun though. Suns undefeated in the bubble, 5-0, right?
I couldn't have asked for a better start to the beginning of NBA gambling podcast for.
Oh man,
the picks have been tough. You know, it's been all over the place in the bubble, but every time I've bet on the Suns and won, they've not only won every game, they've covered every game, which is even more impressive. Only team 5-0 against the spread and straight up. Can't ask for better.
Well, I don't actually look at straight up records, so that's what I meant when I brought it up.
Here's the thing with the Suns too. If they go 8-0 in this bubble, they should just let him into the playoffs regardless. If you go undefeated in the bubble, they need
Draymond's getting fined for talking shit about Booker.
Trying to recruit Booker or get him out of Phoenix. You got to hate that as a Suns fan, right?
Oh man, I am now called Ryan Fuck Draymond Green McKee.
I like it.
My new name.
It's got a target on him. All right,
Sean, let's talk Cardinals. Back to football.
Let's talk Cardinals. Here's my big thought on the Cardinals. They're a little fun, got a little frisky, bringing in the big name receiver. What I'm worried about, McKee, with this Arizona Cardinals team is, I'm worried, and I'm sure you're gonna hate this comparison, but I'm worried that this year they are going to be the last year Cleveland Browns, because they got the second year quarterback who closed out the season with like a decent little bit of hype. They bring in the big name receiver for the Browns. It was the boat trip himself. Of course, Odell Beckham Jr. Tons of hype. I got to know.
In fairness, DeAndre Hopkins, other than Bill O'Brien thinking he's not a good locker room guy, seems to be a good guy.
Seems to be much better than Odell Beckham. I think what is going to decide it is, has Kyler Murray done an inordinate amount of commercials? I haven't seen any yet, but McKee, has he been blowing up in the commercial circuit?
He is not doing a lot of commercials.
Great son.
Personally, I gotta say, you know, I'm married to a woman from Cleveland. I'm deeply ingrained with the Cleveland Browns fans, and I am so horribly offended that you would put us in the same remote bucket. I mean, that is ridiculous. Cliff Kingsbury is nowhere near the Freddie Kitchens. Freddie Kitchens couldn't coach his way out of a Pop Warner league.
Well, if I can interject,
are you talking about
Freddie Kitchens coach. was coaching in the NFL in 2018 when Cliff Kingsbury was getting fired from his college job. So
that's worth noting.
Who's a better head coach in the NFL? Clearly Cliff Kingsbury.
Small sample size. I am on the side of the Cardinals, but it is a small sample
size. Well, who still has his job?
Cliff Kingsbury. Well, also,
exactly. Freddie Kitchens moved on to greener pastures.
Now you have a guy, Cliff and Kyler, two people with not one real name between them. I mean, Cliff, K-L-I-F.
It's two dog names, right?
And Cliff, of course, came out. And I like this about Cliff. He admitted that is he kind of staged his draft setup, including having the fireplace going in 100 degree Arizona heat. So I appreciate the honesty. And to his credit, what I hate about coaches is when they have no room to adjust. And Cliff even admitted that he kind of got cute last year in his first year, not practicing their real offense in the preseason, then kind of rolling it out in the first game. I appreciate that honesty. And they kind of adjusted as the season went along. They started out in tons of 11 personnel, no tight ends, but then they ended up doing a lot of like 12 personnel. They ended up getting the tight ends involved, kind of moving to a little slower pace, partly because they had a bunch of injuries at the receiver position. Again, great to bring in DeAndre Hopkins, but Kyler Murray running the ball seemed to be a huge reason for their success.
Sean, they still had four or five wide receivers 33% of the time. Number two, Jacksonville at 8% of the time. So they were still very heavily skewed towards the air raid. I think it's fair to say.
But at least they dialed it back a little bit.
And Sean's right. And not to cut you guys off, but I want to go back to, we saw, that's the great thing about Cliff Kingsbury. He's very humble and he admits when he was wrong. He admitted, we saw him adjust in the very first game. Remember when we were all in Vegas, the Detroit Lions jumped out way ahead of the Cardinals. It just seemed like it took the air. It was one of the last games of the day. We had been in a Westgate Casino, watching all the games, having a great time. And it was one of the last games before the night game, and it seemed to take all the air out of like, oh, this is just gonna roll. The Lions are gonna roll all over this Cardinals team. Cardinals adjusted at halftime, came back, tied it up, should have won it. He admitted he was too cute in his first game, that he was trying to do too many things. He did a great interview on Ryan Russillo podcast, admitting that he was wrong. He is starting over. We are going to see a totally new Cardinals team this season, and it's going to be outrageous.
Well, let me get. I mean, I'll be honest, Sean. I'm often honest, but this time I'm going to tell you I'm being honest.
Okay, appreciate that candor.
Thank you so much for being honest with us.
You're just trying to be fully transparent right now.
Yeah.
First thing you say when you're not going to be transparent. I actually went into this thinking I was going to shit on the Cardinals. And I kind of came out the other side not thinking I'm going to shit on the Cardinals. But it started from last year where I thought, I was like, well, it felt like they should have won more games. I look at the numbers, the adjusted wins, six instead of the 5-10-1. So not that crazy. The tie could have been a win, whatever. But then I look at that strength of schedule, third hardest strength of schedule last year. And you named a lot of other reasons why, as a fan, you're excited, McKee. I'll throw out a massive regression indicator. Now, it has happened where teams get mired in multiple year injury slumps, but Arizona has been the two-time, Sean, leader at adjusted games lost to the offensive line.
Congratulations.
That's not a stat you want to be number one at, but it's also an indicator that regression has to be coming, right? Injuries are generally nothing more than luck, and they will normalize over a larger sample size. I know I lost you there, Sean, for a second, because I'm using numbers. I'm saying things like adjusted games lost to injury.
I'm hearing you. I think,
and I'm telling
you,
I can
hear him glaze over. Actually,
he's playing blackjack as we speak.
Yeah, I get it.
So there are some
for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
So that's one reason to think, well, maybe there's some positive regression coming, along with the tough schedule and the less wins than expected. But they did have a massive jump. Their offense got way better. And that's one of those things where you have to figure out, is this going to happen again? Or is it going to slingshot a little bit?
Kramer, I'm looking over your handwritten notes in giant letters. Yeah. There's D-Hop, Kirk, and Fitz.
Yeah.
And you're highlighting, again, DeAndre Hopkins, who I think I'm kind of in this middle ground where bringing in DeAndre Hopkins was the right move. I mean, you got salary relief from a horrible David Johnson contract. First off,
we didn't even prep this. So great. Absolutely great, because you took the second half of my point. What a beautiful job you did, because I'm saying they did all of that with Larry Fitzgerald, who finally got his degree, very happy for him.
Congratulations, yeah. Larry.
And Kirk. And now you add DeAndre Hopkins. You have I'm blanking on his name. Is it Isabella? You have a potential.
He's going to be in his second year. He's going to be good.
So now you look at the 4 and 5 wide receiver, 33% split. You know that Cliff Kingsbury is a Mike Leach, hail the air raid system. Colby's still not air raid certified, but he's working on it.
He's on like the 12-year plan, much like
and now you've actually equipped this team to run some more of these air raid concepts. Because to your point, Sean, those areas where he admitted he was wrong because his system was being too rigid to the roster he had. Now he's been able to fill that roster out. And while I'll be honest, I don't love my take about Drake as much from the fantasy show, because all that I came out of the research here is how much the running back is going to be involved in this passing game.
Well, two things. One, DeAndre Hopkins, I think, is a great addition. You want DeAndre Hopkins on your team.
Oh, that's a hot take. Wait, the best receiver you want in on your team? Okay.
However, I think his, you look at his like over
backhanded compliment. He needed to start off with something nice.
You look at his over or like his yardage total and his catch totals. Those seem really, really high. And I think it's going to take Kyler Murray a little bit getting used to throwing to DeAndre Hopkins, because DeAndre Hopkins is a guy who he's always open, right? Even when he's not open, he's open. Like, you have to get used to throwing it to a guy who's clearly covered and trusting DeAndre Hopkins to get open. And in this short season, and like no preseason, not a lot of time to build chemistry, I worry that Hopkins is going to start off slow in the season and hit his stride in the second half of the season. It's obviously a huge pickup.
Have you forgotten all the horrible quarterbacks that DeAndre Hopkins plays with?
That's a great point.
And he was still awesome.
That's a great point.
I mean, he's at least, Kyler's at least better than Brock Osweiler.
Well, I'll say that, but then also like his numbers, like the under on the yardage prop, I still think is maybe the way to go, because they're like having him have the same numbers he had with Deshaun Watson. I think he'll take a slight dip. He can still have a good year, but I think the over is crazily priced. And really it seems like a big correlation to them winning is letting Kyler run the ball. And we saw in these Madden Sims, especially when they updated Kyler running the ball was just dominant. In every Arizona win last year, Kyler ran the ball for more than six times.
My favorite part of the preview episodes this year is going to be how in every single episode we reference to what this player or this team did in the simulations that we called over the summer.
I watched so many hours of Madden. I got to get something out of it.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, hey, you really did your Madden homework. You deserve to at least reference it once an episode.
I love the draft pick as well, because every week in DFS, we would just go, okay, what tight end is playing the Arizona Cardinals, immediately throw them in the lineup.
Well, and that's the last piece of this argument of why the Cardinals could be set to regress. Do you want me to talk about it?
I was going to finish my point, but Isaiah Simmons, the athletic linebacker they drafted, should help in the pass coverage of the tight end.
Well, I mean, they can't get worse. We know they can't get worse because we watched every week as we told you to play the tight end playing the Cardinals in DFS, and just about every week you were getting a touchdown. So I don't know. What do you want to talk about the additions and
yeah, let's get to it,
because I have more points, but I feel like I'm already talking about this year. So
obviously, I want to say that they've only had one player opt out, and that's their backup tackle. So they're looking good as far as a deep roster.
Yeah, and when your key loss, other than the opt out, is David Johnson, it's not that bad.
That's huge. That's addition by subtraction. And then they bring in Devondre Campbell, the linebacker, defensive lineman Jordan Phillips, edge rusher Devin Kennard, and then of course D Hop. That was the huge one. Like what they did in the draft. And again, you have Patrick Peterson kind of coming back in a way, because he missed a big portion of the season last year due to the suspension. Didn't have an amazing year, finished kind of strong though. But and then Kenyon Drake, the emergence of Kenyon Drake, they traded for midseason. Kenyon Drake, another kind of interesting fantasy guy. I think I read he has an 80% catch rate compared to the other Arizona running backs are like 57%. Kenyon Drake, though, I'm worried fantasy wise. I think he'll be good for the Cardinals, but I'm worried fantasy wise, maybe he's a little overdrafted when people are taking him in the first round and stuff. Because he had those two games that were insane. Yeah. And then the rest of the games, he was like, well, solid.
Coming back to my earlier point, I think one of the things you learn about when you study the air raid, like I'm sure you have, Sean.
Yes.
What you know is that on every single play, the running back is running that swing route,
yeah,
or some sort of corner route, something where he becomes the third read. And it's just going to happen. I think that's what he wants to do with this offense. I think he wants to run a lot of stuff where there's four wides and a running back. And I'm absolutely, like I said, I don't know if I feel as good about my Kenyon Drake. Is definitely not a guy I'm looking to target, even at the back end of the first round. I would say
just to jump in real quick. I would caution you against Kenyon Drake. Has he ever played a full season without injury?
That's why I don't like him. But I think the opportunity will be there.
Yeah, and they have great backups to him. Yeah. Chase Edmonds did really well when he substituted in last year.
He's also
a guy who can catch the ball. They drafted Eno Benjamin. He's from Arizona State. I watched him all through college. He's really impressive. He's a multi-talented back. He's definitely a guy to target near the back end of your dynasty drafts, I would say.
Ooh, look at that, going deep.
Yeah, and they have DJ Foster, also Arizona State guy. If he makes the roster, he can play receiver as well as running back. So they have a lot of talent in their backfield.
But was DJ Foster on the Patriots last year?
He was.
I had this guy in my FFPC. I was just waiting for him to pop. He's an absolutely dynamic receiver, Sean. He could be perfect for the air raid.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the last thing I was going to, the other area where I think you want to talk, I have some funny, just random regression items or bad coaching items. Perhaps this is why Cliff got fired at Texas Tech. They were 25th. I think this is more of just an outlier. 25th in broken tackles on offense.
Yeah.
And they were tied for 30th with the Cleveland Browns of all teams, Sean, with broken tackles given up on defense. So, my understanding of those metrics are completely random. So you want to look for maybe they're not going to get as unlucky in the broken tackle area. But the other piece of why this team is taking a step forward, or you at least can understand the story. What were they doing last year, Sean? Well, they were breaking in a new defensive system. And we know when you switch from the 4-3 to the 3-4, it always takes a season. Even worse when you've just gone from the 4-3 to the 3-4 and then back again, or I'm sorry, the 3-4 to the 4-3 and back again, because your roster's all messed up. So Vance Joseph's second year, his defenses were pretty good in Denver, both time top 10. You have Peterson in a contract year.
Good point. If you remember, Baker solid.
He missed a bunch of time last year with some PED.
Yeah.
He got hit for some PEDs. And as you pointed out earlier, Isaiah Simmons sounds a lot like he's going to be the guy that could help fix those tight end woes. So I think when you look at all of these areas, there's a lot of good reasons as to why this team regresses in a positive sense. The two questions I have for McKee, the fan, is one, like, this works only if Murray can be Watson or Russell Wilson. You can't run around and take all these sacks if you're not also going to be dynamic like Deshaun Watson and Russell Wilson. So I feel like some of his development is just, if he plays the same way, there's a chance he takes a step back. So A, McKee, are you confident that development is happening under the tutelage of Cliff Kingsbury? And two, does it not at all concern you that Isaiah Simmons could be the draft pick from a couple of years ago out of Temple, Reddick?
Well, first of all, to start with your second question, Temple has a completely different pedigree than Clemson. Am I right?
Yes, strangely fair. Sized player who doesn't necessarily fit a position has struggled to find a identity in the Here's defense.
Here's the problem with Temple is that our old
careful.
Coach, no, our old coach came from Temple. There was a soft spot. I'm not even going to name his name.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
He came from Temple, and he, you know, I think influenced our general manager a little too much with Temple players.
Okay.
Clearly,
you've moved on. I get it.
So I've moved on.
I liked Hassan Reddick. I thought he was going to be good. So I was way off there.
That's weird. You like the Temple player.
I thought he was too, but you know, I mean, he's still on our team. He could still be a decent backup. Isaiah Simmons, everybody said that he was going to go before the Cardinals even drafted him. He didn't. He failed him. That was a great draft. They that's exactly the player they wanted. That never happens. The player you actually want, all the fans want, actually fell to them. They didn't have to trade up, give away assets. Worked out perfectly. He can definitely shut down tight ends. He does one thing, shut down tight ends. That'd be great. Do I think Kyler Murray can be Russell Wilson? Why did Russell Wilson come into the league a little later than most quarterbacks?
Too small.
No, because he was busy playing baseball.
Oh, good angle.
What did Kyler Murray also almost do besides playing football?
Play football.
Play baseball.
Play baseball.
Damn it, I got it wrong.
That's right. So I think it's a one-to-one correlation that he's going to be as good as Russell Wilson.
I think in reality, he was just busy getting run out of town in NC State for Mike Glennon. So that's why he stayed in college for an extra year. I can't wait to go through the schedule. It sounds a lot like McKee is buying stock in this year's Arizona Cardinals. And
I've already bought all the stock.
He's already bought all the stock. And I should point out to you, Sean, that as I was telling you earlier, very hard schedule last year. Very easy schedule. 30th most difficult schedule projected according to DVOA.
So I think we think the Cardinals are going to go up, but how much?
Win total. Of course, last year they pushed their win total of 5. They went 5-10-1. This year it's at 7.5. The over is at -130, +100 on the under. Division +650. Conference 22-1. Super Bowl 40-1. We just got off the old horn with Brandon, Seahawks guy. Carefully articulated how the Rams and Cardinals were in a different class in the division.
Very classist of him.
So let's go through this schedule and see what McKee has to say about that, because it was pretty inflammatory. Basically said the second class of
I don't even know who this kid is, and I hate him so
much. He's calling for your name, Brandon.
At San Francisco to start the season, the Washington professional football team, 2-for-2, Sean, haven't screwed that up yet. The Detroit Lions at Carolina, you know, revenge spot for Detroit there again, or for the Cardinals against Detroit.
Is it a revenge if you're coming off a tie? What do they call that?
That's 100% revenge.
But a pretty, I mean, I'll be honest right here, Sean. This is a manageable start to the season, especially when you realize that they're going to be they get the Super Bowl hangover 49ers, a team that they played really well against.
Yeah, they played they lost twice, but by a combined total of 13 points in both games. So no big deal. Just lost twice by only 13 points.
Something to hang your hat on. That's some bulletin board material if I ever heard it. Don't worry, guys. We only lost twice by combined 13
points. The
thing
to hang your hat on if you're Arizona in those games is both of those games, you were +20% on the DVOA. You played two of your best games of the season against the 49ers. So they're definitely not scared of him. And we mentioned this before, Sean. It seemed to be that the kryptonite to that defense was a quarterback that can move around a little bit.
I'll go 2-2 here for the Cardinals.
Oh, I like what you did there. 2-2.
Yeah. Keeping it simple. I mean, again, Carolina.
I'm
slightly higher than most.
Carolina's gonna be hot garbage. Did you see that tweet?
Not at all.
They have like their average age on defense is like 23 years old.
Two words: Matt Rule.
Yeah, I know, but you've been highlighting all offseason about how this virtual offseason is gonna be good for teams with new coaches and new players.
But again, the Panthers people are so down on them.
You know what? I think I know where my man Ryan is going. I'm going in the same place. 3-1.
Wow. All right, McKee, what
I'm
are you?
4-0.
Nice.
All right, there you go.
At New York Jets. A three-game road stretch there. At Dallas on Monday night. Seattle at home. Miami at home. You know, there's some winnable games here. I got to imagine they lose at the Jets in some sort of dumbass fashion, and perhaps even at Dallas. I'll go 2-2 here.
Yeah, I mean, three road games, that's always tough. I'll go 2-2 as well. McKee, Are you going 4-0 here again?
No, I'll be reasonable. I'll go 2-2. So actually, I'll put them at 6-2 so far.
Actually, Sean, I'm going to go 1-3 in this stretch. I think they had a little bit of a bump.
They always play Seattle real tough at home. Just saying.
Yeah, they're always frisky in the division, I feel like.
Yeah.
What's the next?
Buffalo at home at Seattle on Thursday night. That feels like a loss. Bye week. I like the late bye week at New England, Rams at home. This is just a tough scheduling stretch. I'm going to say 1-3.
1-3 for the Cards here. This is where they cool off a little bit from there.
Wheels falling off the wagon.
A little bit.
McKee, what are you going?
I'll go 2-2. So I got them 8-4 right now.
At New York Giants. That's going to be a tough one. Could be for a battle between division winners, perhaps. Philly at home. Saturday.
I'm going to that game.
By the way,
I don't care if they allow fans. I'm going to be there.
If college football doesn't happen, there's going to be a lot of Saturday NFL games.
They're going to slide some of those all over right, to Saturday.
At Giants, Philly at home, San Francisco on Saturday, and the Los Angeles Rams in Los Angeles to close out the season.
Well, this is pretty easy. I think they split the division games and they beat the Giants. So give me a 2-2 for the Cards closing it out.
This Rams,
a very realistic 7-9.
I go 3-1. They will. I already predicted a win against the 49ers in the first game, so I will have them split that. Mm. They're definitely beating the Eagles in Arizona, though. Lock that in right now.
Wow. Okay.
So I have them going 8-8, Sean.
Okay.
You have them going 7-9.
Yes.
And Rich Fat Baby McKee over here has them going 11-5.
Yeah. So I'm on the under here and you're getting the plus 100. So don't feel horrible about it, but certainly I feel stronger about some of the other teams.
It feels
like
you pick their floor. I feel like this team's got some ups. I think we didn't really get into enough detail about how the defense could also just be hot garbage again, but
well, it is Cliff Kingsbury. And that certainly is something to be concerned about, but Vance Joseph, he's giving him the reins. Jordan Hicks
Vance
is on the team.
Good guy, man.
Jordan Hicks.
Why are you hating on Vance, man?
So do you like McKee? Do you like any of the futures? 650 to win the division, 2,200 for the conference.
Interesting.
4,000 for the Super Bowl.
Interesting to see the Cardinals have worse odds to win the division, but better odds to win the Super Bowl. Perhaps some of that hype you were talking about, or we've been talking about the fantasy team hype. This is this year's Browns hype. Well, I don't know why else you would see the larger future market be like worse priced than the division. You know, it doesn't make sense. Other than that,
that doesn't make sense. I'm going to say that I'm definitely betting them to win the division, but take my advice with a real grain of salt there. You know, I'm all in on the Kool-Aid. I've been drinking a lot of Kool-Aid with a little tequila in it. So, you know,
just like Cliff likes.
I would say like, I think you're right, Sean. I think the totals are I would lean over for the same, for the opposite reasons you're leaning under, but I don't know how strong it is. I will say, I thought I was going to come into this, pick them to win five games. So I was way off in my analysis. I'm glad I did the work. I'm glad I shared my homework with you.
There you go. It's a learning experience.
Kramer. No problem.
All right, McKee, what can
the least I could do?
What can people expect from the NBA gambling podcast feed? What do you got coming up this week? And what do we got going on at sportsgamblingpodcast.com?
Well, as soon as I get off with you, I'm going to jump on another podcast with Zach Broner. Ooh. We're going to pick Monday's game. Zach and I are going to be pretty much picking every day this week game, the day before. As far as sports gambling podcast, we've got plenty. We already got Steve Shermer picking the Wyndham Championship for next weekend. So you golf guys just roll right into that right away. We've got some US Open tennis bets up. Ooh. Right now. Adam Pelletier has some fantasy football dynasty value picks, so definitely check that out. His articles always blow up. And yeah, we're gonna have a lot more stuff coming up this month. As you know, it's all in August, so there's gonna be a lot of content.
I heard football or other sports are also happening, but lots of sports in August this year.
It's all going down. Make sure you give Ryan McKee, Ryan Rich Fat Baby McKee, a follow on Twitter at the Ryan McKee. Ryan, thank you as always. Have a good night.
Thank you, guys.
BetQL, baby. BetQL is back. One of my favorite apps to use. Tons of data, public sharp data, all that good stuff over at BetQL. Only app you'll need. NBA, NHL, MLB. They're back in action. BetQL helps you out. They got their best bets algorithm. Scans thousands of data points to give you a best bet recommendation for every game. And, you know, they're not just blindly throwing out these bets. They give you a reason. They give you a little data. Hashtag show me the data.
Sean's a big data guy.
Exactly. They got sharp data for NBA, MLB, NHL. See, the pros are back and ride them instead of, you know, it's always a good point to fade the public when in doubt. FTP, fade the public. If you live in Jersey, PA, Indiana, Colorado, or West Virginia, I got some exclusive offers there for you as well. All you got to do is head to the App Store or Google Play Store to download BetQL. And if you want to get access to their premium tools, we got a discount for you there. SGP20, 20% off your first subscription. SGP20. I see, look like they went 2-0 in their NBA picks today. We're taping it on a Sunday. Tomorrow, Monday, they're a 5-star pick for the Utah Jazz +2 against the Mavs. I'm looking at the data. Seems to make sense. Throw it out there. It's always
show me the data, Sean.
It's always fun to get a little data, a little analysis, and tons of good stuff over at BetQL. Check that app and grab one of those subscriptions. 20% off. Can't beat that. Kramer, moving on to the Los Angeles Rams. Hashtag just ram it.
Just ram it. Oh, how do I not have that queued up? Hold on.
Come on, Kramer. Dig deep into the archives. Pull that up.
I'm getting better at this. I'm pretty sure I should be able to just type in ram it.
Rams were 9-7 last year. Their win total was a whopping 10.5. Pretty sure we were both on the under there.
This happened. Definitely watch the video, Sean Fan.
Check it out. Cocaine, hell of a drug. Rams, 8.5 is their win total this year. But 10.5 was last year. Oh,
wait, hold on.
Oh, you gotta play the solo. We can't sing and our dance is not pretty, but we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the LA Rams. Hollywood handsome, Dodge City tough. If you throw it my way, it's gonna get rough. I like to ram it, as you can see. Nobody likes ramming any more than me. They call me Jeter, nobody dresses sweeter. But under this cool is a quarterback mistreater. I come from the end, looking for the sack. I don't stop coming till I put them on the back. This limousine with it, my moves are like dreams. They call me the demon on special teams. I know how to rock from the toes to the head. When I pull the trigger, I'll knock you dead. I'm a mountain man from West VA. They call me Herc and I came to play. I learned long ago to ram it just right. You can ram it all day and ram it all night. Ram it.
He's one of those guys who will get penetration. The amount of sexual euphemisms in this.
You think they were meaning something else when they were saying just ram it?
I thought it was about scoring touchdowns, Sean. Not metaphorical touchdowns.
Just ram it.
Just ram it.
You know, I'm
so glad that happened.
I've been a big fan of shitting on Jared Goff for a long time. I was ahead of the curve. I was on an island, some would say. A Jared Goff sucks island. And I was correct. Jared Goff, for a while there, Jared Goff was winning some games, getting to a Super Bowl. People were like, Sean, you're an idiot. He's a guy that's in the Super Bowl. And I believe 2019 was the beginning of me being proved right. Jared Goff took a nice step backwards, posted lows in yards per attempt, 7.4, and touchdown rate, only 3.5%, lowest of his career since his rookie season. And this is one, a stat I really love. Goff ranked 35th. Out of 39 quarterbacks in aggressiveness and his expected completion percentage.
Sean.
Yes.
I really enjoy the Football Outsiders, the prep work. It's a heavy piece of my prep work, and they really just piled on your point. Their chapter, they open up with a Hunter S. Thompson quote.
Oh, really? Nice.
Gambling can turn you into a dangerous two-way street when you least expect it. Weird things happen suddenly and your life can go to all to pieces. Referring to the Rams and their push all in with Jared Goff and a guy on a rookie contract and what can happen when you miss, essentially. Because everyone is so starved and hungry to gain the advantage when they have that quarterback, that when you pull that strategy off, when your quarterback is Jared Goff, now what? You haven't picked in the first round since you picked Jared Goff in 2016. Your team is now. All of that being said, I mean, you could also argue that was just an outlier last year because they were pretty damn good in 17 and 18.
Well, and it's interesting.
Right?
You kind of look at and start crunching the numbers. Yeah, certainly you could make that case, but Goff is one of those quarterbacks, much like Dakota Rain, where you.
I think it's disrespectful to put them in the same class.
Well, I think they're in the same grouping in this sense where you win with them, not because of them. So if you put Jared Goff and maybe even throw Kirk Cousins in there, guys who you give him plenty, a great offensive line, great running game, offense, like awesome supporting cast of receivers, and he can kind of run the show as, and you're scheming guys open, he can look kind of decent.
I don't mean to compliment Rain, but I think if you look at what he did at Mississippi State when he was kind of a one man team, he at least has it in him. Jared Goff's a pussy who went to Berkeley.
Yeah, I've never seen it in Jared Goff. 2019, I definitely didn't see it. And their offense really seems to need to get the run game going to set up the pass, right? Against top 10 run defenses in 2019, the Rams went 1-5. Now, when they were going against non-top 10 run defenses, 8-2. So they really need to go up against weak run defenses. And in 2020, yeah, they face seven run defenses that are ranked in the top 10 last year. And they lost Todd Gurley, who, I mean, by all accounts, Todd Gurley was kind of a bust or I mean, I think
kudos to them to getting rid of him.
They got rid of him, but they were able to unload his salary.
Ton of dead money
that they're still paying for. And that's why, you know, you don't have Cooks, who again, not an amazing year last year, but when they were firing on all cylinders in 2017 and 18, Cooks was a big part of it. Like, Who is their big receiver this year? I mean, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods.
But I think in a way that Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are like, they always just fit better into that system, right?
Yeah.
They're more willing to block. Like they're complete receivers. And I think you now have, you know, the emergence of Higbee. He kind of closed out the season nicely. You still have Everett, a guy.
The tight ends are playing better too.
You like the tight ends. I mean, I think if you like the Rams, your argument is, hey, last year was the outlier. DVOA points that to the fact that they had the toughest schedule. So, you know, maybe they bounce back. The problem is when you look at the situation, there's more reasons to explain the beginning of the end versus just a bad year.
Yeah, and again,
Wade Phillips isn't coming back. He, by all accounts, he was like a locker room guy. Who knows what this means now? You've cobbled together this team. What happens now when Goff starts shitting the bed? How it's been now a couple seasons since his success.
Well, and they really need a good offensive line, right? To really fire on all cylinders with this Rams team. They're bringing back all five offensive line starters, which in this weird COVID season. That's I'm looking to take teams that are bringing back their five offensive linemen.
It's important.
The issue is last year, their offensive line wasn't that good. They were 31st offensive line, according to PFF. And regardless of where you fall on them, like they just weren't a good offensive line. We saw it in Goff's production and his lack of aggressiveness.
Well, in the other area that I might have you look at, I've been pointing out injury regression a lot. 2017, 2018 offensive line was healthy. 2019, one guy went through the season and didn't miss a game, and that was the left tackle, Whitworth. So, from the perspective of, hey, this team could come back, this team could become what they were before. It just a lot has to happen, right? They still have Aaron Donald.
They have Brockers, who's good, but they
have Ramsey.
Yeah, who's still a top notch quarterback. But they lost Littleton, that linebacker who was really good at pass coverage. So I mean, I'm looking at taking tight ends against the Rams this year. week two, they play the Eagles. So I think Goddard and Ertz could have a huge game against that Rams defense, who have superb cornerbacks, but they're going to be outside on the receivers. I think the middle of the field is how you're going to take advantage of this Rams defense. And I think there's going to be opportunities there, but they do have a good defensive line. I think if you're a Rams fan or a Rams backer, you're relying on the defensive line, you know, Sam Darnold, Brockers, some of those other guys.
Aaron Donald.
Yeah, what did I call him?
Sam Darnold.
Aaron Donald.
I mean, look, the more you kind of look into this team, the more you're like, wow, okay, they were 9-7 last year with that tough schedule. They had there were a lot of things that didn't go right. Jared Goff kind of sucks. They still went 9-7 with a really tough schedule. This year the schedule's easier.
I'm leaning the other way. Like I think this is the beginning of the end. I think people have kind of figured out the boy wonder a little bit. And I think,
you know what the scary thing about Jared Goff is? -40% DVOA when trailing by one score. Just doesn't have the mental makeup.
No.
And I think, you know, sure, maybe he had, I think the better version of how to tell this story is he had two optimal years in 2017 and 2018. Last year adversity struck and it went bad fast. And I think if you look at the roster, very shallow at the top, right? Very shallow roster. And it wouldn't take a lot for this team to start spiraling again.
Well, and they were the classic team that kind of just went all in. They went all in for that window. Yeah. And now maybe the window's closing and you have that huge Ramsey contract. You have that huge Goff contract. You have all that dead money from the Todd Gurley contract. And as much as we want to give Todd Gurley shit, he did have 14 touchdowns last year. Who from this running back rotation is going to pick up those 14 touchdowns? Cam Akers, second round pick?
Maybe,
but I mean, that's a lot to pick up.
Feels like he's going to get overdrafted. I do think that the other piece of this, so a little while back, we might have even talked about it on the podcast, but Todd Gurley made mention of the Rams owing him money.
Yeah.
After he was released, right? So I made a note of this, like when we go to preview season, I want to look into this. And funny enough, I had done a little bit of research. The Rams, it sounds like Kroenke might be in some financial trouble.
Oh, really?
So I started looking into this. And did you know about the stadium? The stadium, is that going to end up being twice as expensive as it was?
No, I didn't.
$5 billion now.
Holy shit!
And the NFL owners put up a $500 million loan to ensure that it gets completed on time. This is not a team that's going to rebound.
Yeah.
This is a team strapped for cash. They're going to be cutting corners, even though they have a brand new stadium. I think the vibe in the building is going to be off.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because there's something else going on here.
Yeah, and
maybe, and the house of cards will come down.
And maybe
really quickly.
A decent enough play caller, and you have.
Makes you think that? You're the first guy to tell me he's not better than Doug P.
I'm playing devil's advocate there. I think Rams could be the bottom of this division this year. It feels like this is the year where
let's go through the schedule, Sean. But
the wheels come off, and even the win total kind of foreshadows that it's 8.5, and the under you're paying -145.
What gives me pause is just like a lot of things didn't go well last year, and they still went 9-7.
And that's a good angle.
They still had shitty ass Jared Goff. Yes. They still had a shitload of injuries and no secondary. All right, Sean. For last year, 9-7, as you mentioned, they went under their win total of 10.5, 8.5 this year, +115 on the over, -145 on the under. Four and a half to one for the division. No appeal for me on that one. 25-1 for the conference, 55-1 for the Super Bowl. I mean, that tells the story right there.
And you kind of hit on it.
That is odd, though, right?
In the Cardinals portion where. The Cardinals are 40-1. Their win total is 7.5.
No,
Rams broken. Are 55-1, and their win total is 8.5. I mean, there's crazy juice on the.
I mean,
the Rams,
clearly, yeah, clearly they're getting some interesting action. Let's walk through it, Sean. First four: Dallas at Philly, at Buffalo, New York Giants. That is not the way you want to start the season.
Yeah. Oh, geez. I'm gonna say. Well, they definitely beat the Giants, right? We can agree on that.
Well, I mean, myself, Steve Shermer, a golf expert, guy who just won you a lot of money. If you listen to the PGA Championship podcast,
are you talking about me or?
Yeah, we did too, but Steve Shermer and Zach Bronner, NBA guru, guy you definitely want to listen to during the NBA playoffs. along with the great Walter Football. You can read his stuff over at walterfootball.com. We all think the Giants are winning the division.
Okay.
So I absolutely think the Rams come out. Sure, I'll give them a count. I'm 1-3.
I'm going to say 1-3 as well. But that almost implies, yeah, I think they beat the Giants, maybe the Cowboys, but I'll go 1-3 here.
They split the home games, they lose the road games. Next four: at Washington, at San Francisco, Chicago on Monday night, at Miami. This is an absolutely brutal start to the season.
2-2.
It's three road games. What road game are they winning?
I think you can beat the Rams.
I mean the
Redskins. Yeah, because what they're going to do is they're going to stay. Oh no, that's a different.
No, they have to go to the West. They have to go. It's really messed up what they've done here. They have to go from Los Angeles. So they play a game. Listen to the schedule: home against Dallas, and they go cross country to Philly.
They're going to stay in the East Coast.
Stay in the East Coast. Go play in Buffalo. Go back to the West Coast. Play the Giants. Back to the East Coast to play the Redskins. Back to the West Coast to play the 49ers, and then two games, and then they're home again.
Then they're back in Miami. And then
back in Miami. That's like, I mean, honestly, if they, I'm gonna say 1-3 again, right? Nah, you're.
I'll go 2-2.
What games do they win?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna say 2-2.
Do they beat the Bears on Monday night
at home? Yeah.
Yeah.
If Mitchell's still the quarterback.
All right, I'll be optimistic and say 2-2.
3-5 that first half sounds about right.
If they go three, I mean, with the travel, all right, bye week right in the middle of the season, Seattle at home, at Tampa, another cross, Jesus, San Francisco at home, at Arizona.
Wow, that's tough.
I can't imagine a team.
I think they go 1-3.
Yeah, they're not winning both home divisional games.
You know what? Maybe I'll go two and two.
I'll go two. I'm trying to be optimistic, but Jesus, this is a brutal schedule. I feel like I need to adjust. I need to give them one more loss over the past eight games. I'll go 1-3 this stretch. New England on Thursday night at home, Jets on a Saturday at home, at Seattle, Arizona at home. So it calms down to end the season. But even then, best 2-2.
2-2.
Jesus.
So what do I got him at?
7-9.
7-9. Yeah, that makes sense. And I'll say this. I think whatever happens here, I like the under at 8.5. Feel pretty good about it.
6-10.
I think you have him 6-10.
I have him 6-10. I almost had him 7-9.
I think they're going to, I have cards and Rams both at 7-9, but my hot take for the division is the Rams will end up being the last place team. So maybe it's a tiebreaker there, or maybe they end up being 6-10 or Arizona goes 8-8, but that's how I see it.
We don't really know if McVay is some genius, if the polish is just worn off. I'm more willing to bet on like what you were saying. This is the beginning of the end and that it goes poorly. Then like, this is where you say gun to your head. Do they win 9 games or 6 games? What's more likely?
Yeah. I mean, or just even simplify more. Do they win 9 or 8? Like, this feels much more like a 500 team or below than classic, certainly, yeah, above.
Like a former Cowboys team. All right, Sean
Kramer, the home stretch here before we do.
It feels like I'm leaning towards a Seahawks over.
Oh yeah. I mean, Rams I don't want to tip my hat, but so far of these teams, loving the Seahawks. We're going to close it out with the 49ers in just a second. I want to give a shout out to longtime sponsor of the program, Ace Per Head. Shout out to Ace.
Shout out.
Stuck with us through Corona. Because Ace knows. They know. If you want to reach out to people who want to start their own sports book, you got to hang with the Sports Gambling Podcast. And if you want to start your own sports book, you got to go to Ace. Just go to aceperhead.com/SGP. aceperhead.com/SGP. Get up to 6 weeks free of their amazing sportsbook software. Again, very easy to use. I mean, if you've ever talked to a bookie, not the most computer literate people for sure, and they can figure out how to use Ace. It's very simple, turnkey operation. Just sign up at that link. They'll get you going. They grade the wagers. They set the betting lines. They take care of all the back end stuff. Amazing customer support 24/7. some of the sharpest lines in the industry, and they have live betting, amazing mobile experience. They got it all. Just go to aceforhead.com/SGP, aceforhead.com/SGP.
Sean, what is it for the Rams to miss the playoffs?
That's a good question, Ryan. I'll head over to Odds Shark and look that up. The miss the playoff, make the playoff odds. They have that posted from the other day here. Rams to miss the playoffs.
Miss
the playoffs -200, which again, I don't know if I feel great about that.
No, the under's a better bet.
Yeah, there's a scenario where they get 8 wins and get into the playoffs, especially because of that 7th playoff spot. So I don't feel, I'd rather take the just under. I mean, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, don't overthink it. Take the under.
Moving over to the San Francisco 49ers, coming off their amazing 13-3 season, crushing the over, at which was set at 8. Their new win total set at 10.5. A huge favorite to win the division at -110, conference +400, Super Bowl 850. And what's the story about the 49ers, right? Perfect season, kind of everything went right for the 49ers, except the except the Super Bowl, or even the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl. They figured out how to work around Jimmy G. Now, you mentioned the Super Bowl hangover, and I've looked at it, and it's not quite as strong as I guess in my mind as I've remembered it, at least as of late. So we'll run through this real quick. 2019 Rams 9-7 missed the playoffs. Again, Patriots are the outliers in these things.
Yeah, you just got to throw the Patriots out.
2018 11-5 won the Super Bowl. 2017 Falcons 10-6. They lost to the Eagles in the divisional round. 2016 the Panthers went 6-10. Seahawks in 2015 went 10-6, lost in the divisional round. Broncos went 12-4, lost in the divisional round. So it seems to be more about what they do in the playoffs than necessarily their win total.
I'd be willing to bet the only. I bet you the only team that went over their win total that with what you just listed were the Broncos.
Well, that's a good point, because a lot of these were probably pretty inflated based off them getting to the Super Bowl. Here's my little hot take. In the same way that I compared the Arizona Cardinals to the Cleveland Browns, in an insulting analogy,
I enjoyed that one.
Here's another one. Is Jimmy G the next Colin Kaepernick?
Whoa,
a quarterback whose marketing appeal is greater than his play on the field, a quarterback whose greatest moment may be losing the Super Bowl for the San Francisco 49ers. Am I on to something, Ryan?
You know, it's a real curveball. You came in through the side door. Didn't even know there was a door there, but yeah, I mean, I think everyone, unless you're a fan of the Patriots or the 49ers, you see Jimmy G for what he is. And that's just a guy.
It's a baby just, fucking wheel, man.
Isn't he just the slightly hunkier Jared Goff?
He's DeForest Jackson. He's
Kirk Cousins, right?
He's a gatekeeper.
He's a guy where if you surround him with a great core, great running game, great offensive line, get him going with the play action. And kudos to Shanahan for calling up these schemes that make Jimmy G look really good. But when he had to make the throws down, especially in the Super Bowl, or in the NFC Championship game where they only let him throw the ball 8 times, I know the stat nerds are still like, he's just being efficient. No, he clearly doesn't quite believe in that quarterback. And there's a reason they tried to get Kirk Cousins, because Shanahan, and maybe to his credit, believes he can win with almost any quarterback.
Yeah. And I think Cousins and Garoppolo are probably fairly good comps. The only difference is we've seen Cousins put up numbers at least. We've seen them both choke in big moments. We've seen them both have success with good teams, but one of these guys has consistently put up numbers. And for as much shit as we give Kirk Cousins, he's still good enough. Like, he's overpaid, but he's also earned it. Jimmy G hasn't earned a fucking penny in my mind. He's strapped with a nice defense, and while the offense clearly took a step forward, interesting nugget there. They took over 20 percentage point step forwards in both offensive and defensive DVOA, which is unheard of.
Oh, so you mean from 2018 to 2019?
Yeah. And so you have to give Jimmy G some credit to what he brings to the offense. He just doesn't bring the ability to use his arm all that well. He does the other stuff great. And, you know, as the guys from Boston will tell you, he's super hunky, but
Well, Kramer, now you're getting into F1 and F1 yeah. racing.
Oh yeah, big.
And
big
it
time.
Seems. And listen, there's
shout out to Red Bull cashing my suite 10-1.
If you're a driver, you can only do so much. I mean, like you really have to have an awesome car to yeah. win some of those F1 and to really compete at the highest level.
Yeah.
Even if you're a great driver, you can help a little bit. And to me, he is a guy who has benefited from having an awesome car, an awesome team around him,
yeah.
and he's steering the ship. He's not crashing it into the
Bizarro Sam Bradford is what he is. He's Bizarro Sam Bradford.
Well, Bradford could never even stay on the field to even steer the ship. He was a guy who, even before the checkered flag came out, he's igniting himself and
he's the car racing fuel. He stalls out at the start.
And he's involved. Like, he like T-bones a tractor on the way to the track. Like he's.
Sean, they went from 30th in DVOA 2018 to 5th 2019
overall DVOA. So it feels like you got to pull back a little bit on this 49ers team. I didn't like the Buckner trade. And for me, I don't like when you have a dominant unit breaking that unit up. Like that defensive line with Buckner and Bosa, it was just awesome. And I think that's really how they dominated, was having a strong defensive line.
It feels a bit like they're underselling it. At least,
they drafted Kinlaw, who I like.
A lot of things went well last year for that defense, but just like any great defense, it starts up front. And if you have a guy like Buckner, it really starts in the middle. Yes. Bosa is a god as well.
Yeah. Rookie of the year had an awesome season.
He's amazing, but Buckner was most likely the key player on the field at most times. So now, sure, on paper, Kinlaw drops right in. But does he?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And he's a rookie, and you just had the rookie of the year in Nick Bosa. Can you strike gold once again? We'll see. And the defense, Warren Sharp pointed out, had some non-obvious flaws. On 52 early down attempts in the 49ers red zone, opposing quarterbacks were not sacked once. And had a 15-1 touchdown to interception ratio. So there were some flaws in this defense, which
and you look
at their team and think like, oh, awesome defense, case closed.
Well, when you're the second defense, but you have the ninth red zone defense, that is an indicator where you said, oh, okay, maybe there's something there. But really it's about the fact that they jumped from a team that had a positive defense of DVOA to a negative one. And it was a big jump, and it was a big jump on offense and defense. And while we know that defense tends to have more variance year to year, the data suggests that the fact that the pendulum swung so hard the other way for this team that without any sense of what this team is, what the players on this team think they can accomplish, how good you think Jimmy G is, you're immediately coming to the table with a fade position on them.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the fact that, oh shit, like what if Buckner did matter? That could be a problem. Now we got to get a bunch of guys who are getting close to wanting to get paid.
And then Deebo Samuel on the offensive side had a Jones fracture in his foot.
Emmanuel Sanders,
very
professional
productive
wide receiver. Did he matter? Will Deebo say, or will they just pen, have these young guys do a bunch of Zoom shit and build chemistry with Jimmy G
and Ayuk? I like the pick. I think he could be solid, but is he going to be a contributor right away? Maybe.
I'm curious.
They also still have Kittle, who apparently everyone loves.
He's
that
pretty
guy.
Good. Does Sharp like the Niners this year, or he thinks they're going to regress pretty hard as well? Even though he loves Shanahan,
I think he's still high on them.
Interesting. I mean, I think the difference is Shanahan. One interesting thing that I pulled out of the chapter in the Outsiders is that Shanahan was the 27th most aggressive coach, which I would have guessed he would be much higher. I would guess he'd be much more willing to take advantage of those fourth and short on the other side of the field and things like that. But he wasn't. Why wasn't he, Sean? Because he doesn't believe in Jimmy G either. I think this team had a perfect season. And they fell short. And I don't think there's any other position here. We're going to walk through the schedule, but I don't think there's any way for me to get overly optimistic, because even if I don't think the defense is going to take a massive step back, the offense will, and vice versa. So while there isn't really a data point in the history of the NFL, or at least in the last 30 years, however long the Outsiders have been collecting data to match here, it just seems so obvious that I would feel like a fucking idiot to do anything but take under 10.5.
Well, and Warren Sharp, who seems like higher than at least us on this 49ers team, they're projecting them at 10.5. And that to me almost feels like a best case scenario. And that's what their win total set at. So to get over that,
they are, I mean, objectively Warren Sharp would jam his mustache up Kyle Shanahan.
He's a very big, very big Kyle Shanahan fan, but this division still should be pretty competitive. So to have two teams that are going to be over 11 wins is a big ask. I think
since 1986, the 39 teams to increase on offense by 20% to 25% regressed by an average of 9.2%. They got worse.
Yeah.
So the 15 defenses that progressed or regressed in a positive sense by 22% to 27% in defensive DVOA, they regressed by an average of 8.7%. They got worse.
So even if they're like top 10 DVOA, it's hard to be 10th in DVOA and go 11-5.
I think there's
the bar is just so high for this team.
I think this team could have a good season, but if the offense, if the defense drops to number 10 and the offense drops back down to what were they last year? 7th. They dropped back down to slightly below average. Now we're not talking about a top 5 team DVOA. We're talking about a team in the 10 to 15 range, which is okay.
Which is 9 and
right,
7.
It's right in between where they were. Let's go through the schedule, Sean.
Let's do it.
Which, by the way, that the whole principle of like the pendulum swinging and teams generally regress back towards the norm, shout out to Bill James, Sean. You're big Bill James guy, right?
Oh, love it.
Arizona at Jets at Giants. Oh, tough stretch. Will they be staying on the East Coast here? And then Philly at home.
That's a primetime game for the Eagles, so that favors them on the West Coast. I'm going to say 2-2. I don't know. I'm almost implying that they win maybe one of those or lose one of those Jets Giants games. Who I'm not high on either of those, but I'll say 2-2.
Man, I want to go high on them and see what happens. I think they win the home games, they split the road games. Let's go 3-1. You're probably right though. 2-2 sounds better. Miami at home. Wow, their schedule's front loaded. Rams at home, at New England, at Seattle. They're gonna feel good if they can get through this 2-2.
Yeah, I'll go 2-2.
Green Bay on a Thursday at home, at New Orleans, bye week, at Rams, Buffalo at home.
Oof. 2-2. Now I think that between
two and two.
All those teams are solid. Like even though we were kind of down on the Rams in Los Angeles, that's a tough game.
I think the division beats them. I think the West tends to beat each other up. So
yeah, Bills are scrappy. And then in New Orleans on the short week. Although they have a do they have a bye in there between?
They have a bye after New Orleans. So
yeah,
they have short week is Green Bay. So they have Green Bay at home on a short week.
Okay. So they have that mini bye, but still in New Orleans, that's tough. And then the Packers, they're always kind of in the mix. I think, 2-2 makes sense here.
Yeah. Let's fire Washington at home, at Dallas, at Arizona on Saturday. See, that at Dallas, at Arizona stretch is going to be tricky. And then Seattle at home to close out the season.
I think they finished decently strong. I'll give them 3-1.
I'm going 2-2. We both have them going 9-7, Sean.
9-7 feels right, man. Like it just feels right. And even at 9-7, you got a nice cushion. That's a 1.5 game.
You said that Warren Sharp had him going 10.5.
Yeah. What are the nerds over at Football Outsiders have to say?
8.4.
Wow, that's a pretty big discrepancy.
I understand why Warren Sharp would like them more than I think Warren Sharp pours more value into subjective areas. Like he values Shanahan and his ability to coach offense, for example. And I think the Football Outsiders are just nerds that look at numbers.
Yeah. All right. So let's do it. Let's lock it up.
Oh my God. Did we get to 2 hours about the NFC? We're in trouble, Sean. When the NFC,
who cares? It's football.
You're right. Two-parter.
So 49ers under, I like that. Seahawks over, I like that.
This is boring. We generally agree, I think, on everything with it, with the exception of the Cardinals. And we're kind of really close on that one. We think they're going to be a decent team.
So as far as other plays, I like,
what is the Niners? to miss the playoffs.
Plus 300. I got that in there.
Interesting.
Niners, no playoffs, plus 300. Give me a taste of that.
That's cute. I think that's getting too cute. There's 17.
You got to get a little cute, Ryan. You got to have some hot takes.
All right.
Division plus 250 for the Seahawks, and Seahawks to make the playoffs minus 160.
Yeah. So I'm going Seahawks to win the division plus 250, make the playoffs one at minus 160. I'm definitely going to tell you to take the, are you calling out which win totals you like the best?
Yeah, I did that by saying 49ers under, Seahawks over. Keep it simple.
See, I'm actually going to go a different route here. I'm going to say Rams under, Seahawks over.
Yeah, and I don't mind that Rams one. I just think 10.5 is so high. And gun to my head, it's always nice to just kind of like fade the super high unders. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right. Can I give out a third? Is that legal?
No, you can't give out three locks on a four pick podcast, Kramer.
I feel good about these picks.
I feel great about
it. Maybe I'll be passing some other divisions, Sean.
You can't pass. This is this is a podcast. Hashtag Degens only. Awesome, awesome time.
Well, since you owe me a bunch of units.
Yeah, sim units.
I would suggest taking some of those units and putting them on the under for the Niners as well.
Sim units, of course. Make sure. Oh, no. Well, come on. They, you know, if you win them in the sim world, you got to cash them in on the sim world.
Oh, here we go.
Make sure you check out the NBA gambling podcast feed. Throw that into Apple Podcast, Spotify, and the soccer gambling podcast. Again, Apple, Spotify. Well,
Sean, Champions League going on right now. Europa League going on.
You don't
right
need
now.
To tell me about Europa League. Actually do. And of course, college experience, Coley Dan, white knuckling it till the finish here. Hopefully
just broke down the SEC schedule. We're going to be dropping tons of episodes this week.
And this is
five, we're going to be finishing the Power Five.
It's easy to be negative, but also this is a wild time for college football. See what things happen, see where things shake out. You want to subscribe to the college experience and hear Colby break it all down.
So. And we have a new show coming to the Sports Gambling Podcast Network this week. Probably either, maybe you're listening to this on Tuesday, maybe Monday, but this show, we're going to be dropping it Tuesday night. About that action.
So about make that sure, action.
Make sure you subscribe to the Sports Gambling Podcast Network.
So much content.
And I'm sure we'll have a fight show to cover the UFC card coming up this weekend. So
thank you for participating in the Sports Gambling Podcast.
And for the Sports Gambling Podcast, I'm Sean, Stacking the Money Green, and he is Ryan.
I love you, Russ.
Kramer, let it ride.